Time now for our Africa update. This week in South Africa, President Thabo Mbeki resigns after pressure to step down from his own party. What's next for the country? And in Zimbabwe, rival political parties agree to share power in the new government. But how will it work? For more, we've got Amira Wood. She is co-director of foreign policy in Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. Hi, Amira.
Hey, Tony. Great to be with you.
Nice to have you. Boy, a lot of stuff going on.
It's always exciting
for
in African politics,
let me tell you.
My.
Over the weekend, South African President, of course, Thabo Mbeki, announced his resignation, the move coming after leaders of his own governing African National Congress threatened to force him out of office just months before his term expired early next year.
I would like sincerely to thank the nation and the ANC for having given me the opportunity to serve in public office during the last 14 years as the Deputy President and President of South Africa. This service has at all times been based on the vision, the principles and values that have guided the ANC as it prosecuted a difficult and dangerous struggle in the decades before the attainment of our freedom in 1994.
So, Amira, almost a dozen key members of the South African cabinet, in fact, more than a dozen, say they are resigning along with Mbeki, who was to step down officially on Thursday. And a South African newspaper just reported today that Mbeki says he is going to appeal the case which led to his resignation. So what's going on and how is this about to play out?
Well, let me tell you, it's an interesting and complicated deal. What has happened is you have elections scheduled in South Africa in March of 2009. But what happened in December, about a year ago, really, was that the African National Congress, which is the dominant party in South Africa, had a split of forces. You had Mbeki's faction, and Mbeki's seen as being really more the intellectual, but a bit aloof from the people. And you had Zuma's faction, you know, Zuma seen as the populist within the African National Congress, getting tremendous support and actually winning the party election, which no one had anticipated. So what you had in this fissure within the African National Congress is a split of leadership. And you have had some factions backing Mbeki and others backing Zuma. So clearly we have had a legal case with Zuma going forward on questions really of corruption, issues around an arms deal and all of that. The legal case ended just about a week ago with the judge saying there was political manipulation of this legal process. Didn't name any names, but essentially put it out there that there were hands behind the scenes pulling some strings. And so what that led to was then these factions that were already opposed to Mbeki seizing the moment to say Mbeki must go. And so there was pressure building over towards the end of last week and throughout the last few days for, in fact, Mbeki to resign. And he did do that. He put forward his resignation on Saturday. And what you have just reported is hot off the press. The news is that there are several key ministers who are either threatening or actually putting forward their resignation. I think what is significant, though, is that the finance minister, Trevor Manuel, has said quite firmly, this has just come out also on Bloomberg and other reports, that he will stay. He has backed this transition to the Zuma or potentially to this transition president. And it could well be that that one of the deputy presidents of the ANC, Mthlante, takes over. What will happen on Thursday is that Parliament gets to ratify all of this. Will there be a transition for the next 6 months before the election? It's Parliament that will make the final decision on Thursday. So all these issues of appeal or counter-appeal, all of this will play into what's debated in Congress in Parliament in South Africa later this
week. Now, the African National Congress party leader, Jacob Zuma, has informally named one of his allies to replace Mbeki. Kgalema Motlanthe, I think
Motlanthe,
I'm saying.
Motlanthe, yes,
that's
yes.
Close. Who is he?
He is a trade unionist, so he comes out of a very powerful trade union background in South Africa. He is seen as well-respected and well-liked, but he's seen as someone who will continue the status quo. And let's remember, Mbeki came about, again, after being the deputy president to Mandela, but putting forward this grand bargain where corporations, investors, will have an environment where they will essentially have their way in the economy. The economy will be pro-Mbeki corporations. So there is a tug, especially now when the wealth gap has so widened in South Africa, with the majority of the people feeling completely left out, you know, and without any of the gains that they had anticipated after the apartheid era ended.
Well, now let's move on to talk about Zimbabwe. And there's a connection between Zimbabwe and what's going on in South Africa. Now, last week in Zimbabwe, the country's longstanding political rivals signaled a landmark power-sharing deal. After you and I finished talking, we're going to hear, in fact, from Arthur Mutambara, Zimbabwe's new deputy prime minister and a leader of a breakaway faction of the Movement for Democratic Change. But before we get to him, let's talk about this agreement between Robert Mugabe and Morgan Tsvangirai, who assumes the newly created post of prime minister, and how the departure of Thabo Mbeki, who was a key player in bringing those two sides together, how his departure is now going to impact whether or not this agreement will hold up.
Well, let me tell you, Tony, like I said, it is never a dull moment. So clearly, Mbeki has played a critical role. His quiet diplomacy was heavily criticized. But at the end of the day, together with the African Union and the Southern African Development Community, that regional body there, Mbeki was able to craft this deal with the Zimbabwean people that many say could work. But, you know, the devil is still in the details. And while a lot of the bigger elements of the deal have been worked out in terms of what will happen, particularly between Mugabe and also, you know, just how this will all play out with Tsvangirai. But there are other ministries that are still not yet resolved. So, in fact, the negotiations is still not completed. And Mbeki's role is still pivotal in that. So there are a lot of shifting pieces in Southern Africa right now. And I think clearly what you have in Zimbabwe is a deal that's been hobbled together. It's not a perfect situation. What needs to happen is a transitional process that will essentially get the economy of Zimbabwe back in order again, and also create a political space that can move towards some type of an electoral process where the will of the people can finally be heard.
Well, let's talk about the will of the people. In fact, we have some of the will of the people for our listeners to listen to in response to what they see occurring with regard to this power sharing deal in Zimbabwe. Here they are.
I've been waiting for quite some time, actually, for the deal to be successful. But I'm very skeptical, you know, about the outcome of the deal.
We are not all that concerned about who is going to be who. But what we are concerned of is, are they going to address the critical issues in Zimbabwe to address the people's interests?
It sounds like they don't care who is in charge, so long as whoever is in charge takes care of the issues, the serious issues facing Zimbabwe and the economy.
Clearly, you have had an economy in absolute collapse. People are unable to get food to put on the table to feed their kids. They are unable, even those with the meager resources there, are unable to even find goods in the stores. So you have had people saying this economy cannot continue under these circumstances. The people of Zimbabwe have in so many ways voted with their feet, leaving the country across the borders to South Africa, to wherever they can find jobs and find a meaningful livelihood. And so the test will be, can this deal get the sanction of the Zimbabwean people to return home, to be able to be a part of a process that rebuilds an economy that actually serves their needs and serves their interests? I mean, I think this is still to be proven.
It seems as if the power sharing is still not equal in terms of in many ways. And in one regard, Tsvangirai still doesn't have a passport. Mugabe came to the States for the United Nations meeting, and Tsvangirai cannot get out of the country. Is that right?
Well, it's something that's still being debated. And, you know, the question is, who comes to the state dinners when there are state dinners? And I guess the other example here has been Kenya, where, in fact, you have an agreement to alternate, you know, key appearances in international fora. So, again, in the case of Zimbabwe, the ink is not yet dry and the deal is not yet done. So many of these finer details are still being negotiated, which is why the whole positioning of of South Africa's now, you know, resigned President Mbeki will really be a test as to whether or not this deal can be finished and finalized and approved by the Zimbabwean people.
I've been trying to figure this out, and I don't know if you have the answer in the time that we have left, which is just about a minute. Who this seems to help, the departure of Mbeki? I know that Tsvangirai yesterday called it a blow. One could assume perhaps that he's feeling that this is worse for him than it is for Mugabe, but I'm not sure about that.
Well, it's difficult to say. I think clearly the style that Mbeki took throughout this negotiations has been so heavily criticized. Many have said he sided with Mugabe because they were, you know, allies back in the liberation days, and you know, and clearly we saw the words from Morgan Tsvangirai just yesterday, you know, with expressing regret that Mbeki's leaving. So I think there have been changes along the way in this negotiations process, and I think Mbeki, along with the African Union and the Southern African Development Community, they're all seen as a package that has finally brought a deal that many people, though they realize is not perfect, may be able to live with. And so changing the key players at this pivotal moment is seen as a risky venture.
All right. Amira, thank you very much. Very interesting information. We appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Tony.
Amira Woods is co-director of Foreign Policy in Focus at the Institute for Policy Studies. She joined us from our headquarters in Washington, D.C. Can I tell you, shall I count the words?